This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five. Adam McManus with me, homeschool father of three. Adam is also the host of the Worldview in 5 Minutes, theworldview.com. That's an everyday news program. Tune into it. Of course, it's always part of the Generations Broadcast as well. Welcome, welcome, Adam.
Thank you. It is a new year, and it's kind of a scary year. I might want to go back to 2020 at this point.
Well, you know, somebody said, you know, good riddance to 2020. I think 2020 was a great year. It was a banner year. God was doing amazing things, and I fully expect him to do great things this year as well. Now, oftentimes the things that we perceive to be bad turn out to be good. It's interesting. Certainly, Romans 8:20 always applies to us, right? All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And because we know that when it comes to these institutional issues, national issues, we know that Jesus Christ is over principalities and powers, and he is over all things to the church. And so we know that whatever happens in the institutional realm is going to be in one way or another beneficial to his people. And so here it is, college enrollment in America continuing a free fall. Homeschooling doubled last year and public schooling decreased. And those educational programs that do not advocate a Christian world and life view did a faceplant in 2020. And I guess we did say good riddance, didn't we? There was a 4% drop in college enrollment last year, down to 16.8 million from 17.5, and that's all the way down from 20 million in 2010. Now, I want you to get a sense of how much this is. You're looking at, you know, the population in America increasing, so, you know, the population is still increasing, yet the college population has decreased by 3.5 million students in just, what, 10 years. That's a 16% fall off in 10 years. 3.5 million students. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. 3.5 million students that were attending state schools and receiving a distinctively humanist indoctrination, a materialistic, anti-supernatural, anti-Christian indoctrination in terms of worldview. So the 3.5 million students that were sitting at the feet of teachers, for the most part, who did not share a Christian world and life view in 2010, 3.5 million students gone. Adam, that's equivalent to the closure of 200 major state universities. Think about that. Think about 200 major state universities closing in the last 10 years. That would be like about four major state universities per state closing down in the last 10 years and looking a lot like a ghost town. Can you imagine what's happening to America? That's phenomenal.
It's good news because they're not getting the anti-Christian worldview, but to what do you attribute the attrition rate?
Well, I think a lot of people find that college is counterproductive, expensive. Of course, you know, the student loan program has burgeoned, what is it, 10 times what it was 20 years ago. It's just outrageous. In fact, it's one of the main reasons why Americans are in debt today. Household debt really did sort of go down and decrease somewhat, especially since the 2008 election or 2008 recession. And but at the same time, student debt burgeoned in the same time frame. So young people don't want to be saddled with debt, although they are now. And so they're putting off marriage until they're 39 years of age. And so the consequences, the social consequences of these huge student loans and the social consequences of a college education in so many different measures in which really you don't have a practical usefulness for the macroeconomy. And, you know, you wind up working at Burger King after spending $140,000 for a four-year education. You're thinking, why did I do this?
Yes.
And it's hard to pay off, you know, $80,000 in loans while you're working for $14 an hour, right, at Burger King.
The overall long-term view, college enrollment has endured a 16% fall off in just 10 years. I mean, it's dramatic. And yet, what an opportunity it is for Christ followers to reimagine the future for their young adult children about how to invest those years, invest that money in mentorships, perhaps, or in online Christian universities that do teach a clear biblical worldview?
Well, my son effectively went to a YouTube university. You know, he didn't go to the big university and wound up getting a job in the IT world, and he's done well. I think he's done about as well as I did. I tried to calculate the inflation issue, and I got the four-year degree from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in 1987 and began to get into the macroeconomy and making a little bit more money for myself, and got married in 1990. And I think he's doing as well as I was doing, say, 3-4 years out of college, but he didn't wind up going to college. And so, I think a lot of young people are discovering this. And as you know, there is a increasing separation of the college and the corporation. In fact, the President of the United States issued an executive order. I'm going to say this would be in last summer, in which he removed the 4-year college degree as a basic prerequisite for working for the federal government. And I know a number of corporations have followed suit. In other words, they're seeing college as irrelevant.
Right.
And so they're jettisoning the need for a 4-year degree to work your way into some of these corporations and government service as well.
President Donald Trump signed an executive order on June 26th, 2020, directing the federal government to take the emphasis off whether a job candidate has a college degree and instead assess an applicant's job skills. And it says specifically, this order directs important merit-based reforms that will replace degree-based hiring with skills and competency-based hiring. In doing so, it will hold the civil service to a higher standard, one that ensures the individuals most capable of performing the roles and responsibilities required of a specific position are those hired for that position, and one that is more in line with the principles on which the merit system rests.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of people are discovering that college is a waste of time, a waste of money. It's impractical. It's irrelevant to the marketplace. And this idea that you're put off on an island, which is not the free marketplace. It's not an engineering company. It's not a hospital where you're actually working with people who are really sick. It's a life irrelevant place in which there is so little life integration. And so increasingly the college has become irrelevant to the marketplace. I saw that as I tried to transition out of what was really a hands-on engineering curriculum at Cal Poly and San Luis Obispo into the marketplace, but I found that I was pretty much useless for 3 to 4 years, maybe more like 2 to 3 years, but I was pretty much useless. I had a hard time bringing my college preparatory work into relevant application to producing a product that would have some value to the marketplace. That was a big step for me. And the more practical work you get, the more mentorship you get, the better you are, the more relevant you are, and the more prepared you are to merge into the macroeconomy. And that's why mentorship is so important. And we, of course, have emphasize the importance of mentorship as part of this ministry for a very long time. We include an entire mentorship course for the 11th grade curriculum as part of our Christian discipleship curriculum. But here's one more point I want to make before we make the break. Adam, a recent article from Spectator magazine, defund the colleges, not the cops. That's something similar to what we talked about earlier on a radio program. But their point is this: it's not the cops that are ruining America. The colleges are doing more to ruin America than the cops.
Good point.
And a big part of that is the liberal agenda. And here's one more point that we've made again and again, as they have interviewed professors at colleges over the last 30 years. They found that the percentage of professors at universities that claim to be Democrats versus Republican, conservative versus liberal has shifted dramatically to the left over the last 25 to 30 years. And in some cases, it's a 24-to-1 ratio. Believe it or not, 24 professors claim to be registered Democrats or liberal versus one Republican or one conservative. in colleges. That's among the younger professors. So, and that's that would be up from a 2-to-1 way back in the 1990s. Now more like 24-to-1 ratio. In other words, the blue colleges have become much more ideological in brainwashing students to a liberal agenda, a liberal political agenda. That is the number one reason for colleges to exist at this point.
There is an interesting option also that people need to know about. It's called Pearson Accelerated. And the website is pearsonaccelerated.com, and they say higher education at a lower cost, save time, skip loans, study on your own terms.
Right.
I believe
right.
this was mm-hmm. formerly College Plus. One of the testimonials reads, I did my degree in 2 years, 2 months, and 18 days. And of course, the cost is at, you know, a fraction of what the traditional brick and mortar college would cost people.
Well, we want to take a break, friends. Again, we want to encourage you to get out of the box when it comes to higher education. Please do not mortgage your children's future for a college education. Please consider mentorship. Please consider things like College Plus, programs that provide a much, much cheaper, much more accelerated approach to college. Please consider these other options. If there was ever a time to get out of the box when it comes to higher education, it would be now. And I would hope that the 5 million kids being homeschooled today would be the first to get out of the box when it comes to college education. Be back with more in just a moment on The Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Welcome back, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, and we encourage people to write into the program with questions, comments, ideas. We don't want to be going over the same three issues over and over again. We want some variety, and we want to know what you're thinking of and how we can interact with some of the questions on your mind. And so please email your question, comments, issues to host@generations.org. That's host@generations.org. to reach me and the staff putting together programs that we air on a daily basis. Today, Adam McManus with me. And here are several letters from the mailbag we want to hit on this edition of the program. And I'm just going to draw a little bit from the one letter and something else from a second. But this young man writes in, says, over the last 5 years, we've saved up considerable amounts. Before I started listening to Generations, our goal was to save enough money up front for all of our future kids to attend 4 years of state university debt-free. So far, we've saved enough for four kids, but after listening to you and other like-minded men, as well as knowing the state of our country, our minds are changing. We would like to invest the money or perhaps exchange it for hard metals, but since the future of our economy is very uncertain, it's increasingly difficult to decide what to do. We are not trying to get rich Just on...
I'm out on... He's not 55. This guy's 26.
He's 26 years of age, yeah, with a bunch of kids, yeah.
He's already got that much money set aside. It's incredible.
It is incredible. I know. I know. You know, I think they've got something of a family economy working, so I don't want to get into a lot of detail. They do say we're not trying to get rich. We're in debt on the mortgage payment now, just down to 2.6% interest rate. Anyway, any advice you can provide to help us make a wise investment decision would be greatly appreciated. And I appreciate these questions because they're not always easy. And here's what makes this question hard is that the nation is in transition. We are experiencing an explosion in a mattress factory when it comes to the present socioeconomic condition, the political condition of this country. And so it is extremely difficult to know what to do. I do the best I can to present the case, the socioeconomic case, the political case, the geopolitical case, as much as the Lord has given me wisdom. But I have to say that right now we are living in some of the most confusing times. And here's the big takeaway. Pray. If you want wisdom, pray for wisdom and God will give it to you. That's the promise from James 1. So the first thing to tell this young man and his family is to pray for wisdom and special discernment, perhaps a level of discernment that you've never had before. If there was ever a time to rely upon God for wisdom, it would be now. Of course, we should always be relying upon God for wisdom. But that would be my first comment, Adam, is that these are difficult times. We are going through some of the most transitional times that this nation has faced in modern times. That is probably since World War II and perhaps just before World War II. These are some of the most complex times, and it's difficult for us sometimes to know what to do. Now, I would say that it's hard to trust the monetary system as we are dealing with a massively fractionally reserved banking system, a government that is out of control, utterly out of control, not just drunken sailors, but spending money like drugged out, drunken, suicidal sailors. Is that a better way to put it?
No. You know, what an image.
Oh, man. These guys are out of control, unlike anything we have seen in the history of this country. So, you know, you're looking at a monetary system that's probably going to collapse. You're looking at China coming into ascendance when it comes to the geopolitical and the economic sense. And so what do you do? Well, obviously, hard metals always a good option when it comes to times of very, very difficult economic transition.
Right now, gold is at $1,941 per ounce. Silver's at $27. Do you encourage him to invest in either one?
My gut feel is that silver is probably more underpriced than gold, and yet gold tends to be more reliable. So I guess that would be my advice when it comes to the metals. I would recommend a certain percentage put into metals. But again, you know, I'm not binding consciences here. I'm just simply saying these are options to consider. And please pray through these things. One of the points I don't like about gold is that gold is more of a holding pattern. In other words, if you put your assets into gold and silver and bury it in the ground, you're not using it for anything. I prefer to, you know, invest your money into something that is actually being used for something. That is, you're investing into your own small business. You're investing into tools. It would be a little bit like, you know, buying $80,000 worth of tools, you know, power tools, and then burying them in a big hole in the backyard. You know, what's wrong with this picture? You know, ideally, you want to use your power tools to build houses. You know, you're investing in tools and you want the tools to be used for some purpose. So that's the drawback of gold and silver. But gold and silver can be a holding pattern, can put your assets into a holding pattern for the time being while your economy is going through, you know, massive transitions and problems.
But if gold or silver go up in value, obviously you've made money. So it's really not technically a holding pattern. It could be a wise investment where you can actually come out money ahead.
Sure. And I think also let's get creative with what we do with our money. Let's not just throw our money into a college education for our kids. I think that's okay in some instances. But why not create opportunities for our children, especially when they move into their 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age, where they might be able to work with a home business. Maybe you've invested into a home business that your children can plug into, or maybe you're finding a way to invest in a mentorship with somebody. So you're literally paying somebody to give your children some practical experience in their business. So, you know, get out of the box when it comes to moving your kids more into the macroeconomy. I honestly believe that the family economy is one of the most important areas in which we need to think about investing. We've done that over the last, say, 15, 20 years. We've invested very much into home economy. Most of it's in the publishing of books, that sort of thing. But, of course, Generations has picked up most of that. But we've been able to provide something for our children. It's not just in the quid pro quo business end of things. We also do a fair amount of ministry as a family, and that also gives our children tremendous opportunities for practical experience. So those are some of the things that I would suggest. And here's one more thing to consider. When it comes to a priority in terms of your finances, I know we live in a debt-based economy, but it seems to me that the biblical principle relating to investment and relating to money is to get out of debt. The Bible says, owe no man anything. And in the book of Proverbs, we read that the debtor is servant to the lender. And so as Christians, I think it is important for us to consider a debt-free position to be desirable, and that we shouldn't just be living beyond our means and going into increasing levels of debt in order to live in a nicer and nicer piece of property. We should rather consider it to be a value to pay off the mortgage first. So at some point, if we can pull together our 401k, our IRAs, and perhaps the money we've saved in the bank accounts, it would be good to pay off the loan first and then begin to sock away whatever you are saving in terms of your mortgage payment. That's the kind of thing that we have done. And I think biblical principle lends to that, that being debt-free is a value when it comes to investments.
Proverbs 21 verse 5 says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty." And Proverbs 21 verse 20 says, "The wise store up choice food in olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." So obviously, saving up for a rainy day, putting your money to work, multiplying it is a wise thing to do and biblically supported.
And of course, don't forget tithing, ministering to others, giving, charity, and that sort of thing is a very important part of the family economy as well. Friends, I encourage you to my little book, Family Life. And of course, the story of freedom also deals with some of this, but I would encourage you to Family Life as a resource that could be very helpful in restructuring your family priorities. And I think as you begin to understand a biblical vision for the family, as you begin to see God's will for you in family life, the economic component will eventually fall into line. So, in other words, before we even get to economic advice, why don't we go to the Word of God and say, what does God's Word say about the biblical family? If we begin to restructure the social context of the biblical family, we'll begin to fill in the economic element of family life as well. So I'd encourage you to that little resource, Family Life, available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.